We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Bechor Behema Tohira, Halacha Dalid. We're in middle of paragraph Chaf Vav. In our Likutei Halachos, it's page 468, the left-hand column, one paragraph down, the second paragraph that begins with the words Ve'im Toimar, Kadinhu. But in order to get into this, we're going to go back for a moment to page 466, the beginning of paragraph Chaf Vav, where Rav Nosson Zal quotes a Medrash Pliya that we spent one, he took one punch at it already. We had one major piece of explanation, and now we're going to continue with the explanation. So first, let's go over the Medrash again for a minute. Rav Nosson Zal says here, now let's explain a Medrash Pliya, one of those Medrashes that seem not to make any sense. And he says it's brought in the Sefer Mar Mordechai, and this is the words of the Medrash, that when Hashbisho She'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Begapo Yovoi Begapo Yetzei, when Hashem said that if a Jewish slave comes to work for his master without a wife, when he comes in he's without a wife, then he leaves without a wife. His master cannot give him a non-Jewish maidservant in order for him to produce children for the benefit of the master. So when Hashem said that, Amru lefanav Malachi Ashor is the angel said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, im kein lo motzi visa limchos zecher Amalek. If this is how you feel, then why did you command the Jews to wipe out Amalek completely? Ve'im toimar kadinhu, and if you're going to say, I'm right, then Loma Odom Arishoin Boal Kol Behema Chayav Oif. Why did Odom Arishoin have relations with all the animals and the birds? Ve'im Toimar Kadinhu, and the angel said, and Hashem, if you're going to say that's also right, Loma Tzivisa Lahavias HaBikurim. Why did you instruct the Jewish people to bring Bikurim? Ad Kan Lashoin HaMedrash. These are the words of the Medrash. This is the end of the conversation. This is an incredible mystery. This is something that God had to figure out, what in the world are they talking about? And we started in the previous year explaining that Rav Nosson Zal had said that we see an incredible chiddush in this law about a Jewish servant. We know that when a Jew sells himself to be a slave, it means he's gone way, way, way down. Because the Torah says that we are all Hashem's avodim. Avodaihem. Hashem says they are my slaves, veloi avodim lavodim. And Jews are not allowed to enslave themselves to anybody else, take on any other masters. Which, by the way, a short side note, this is one of the reasons why it's very, very good for a Jew to avoid borrowing money if and when they can avoid it, when they don't have to. Because the Gemara says, Eved loive li'ish malve, that the borrower becomes enslaved to the lender. It's like he has a master of him. I owe somebody. I owe. And a Jew in this world is supposed to try to owe Hashem only. I owe my life and everything I have to Hashem. I don't want to owe anybody else. I don't want to feel I owe anybody else, period. And yet, we have a mitzvah in the Torah, a very, very major mitzvah, to lend money to a person when they need it, with the understanding that right now the person is down. It's not a lazy person. It's not a person who's a good for nothing. It's a person who works or does whatever they do to earn their livelihood. And they ran into some kind of a snag or some kind of a major expense came up, where in order to cover that major expense, they don't have it right now. They'll have it in a few weeks or a few months or a few years. But the person is a responsible person whose word is good and whose efforts are good. There's a mitzvah, major mitzvah in the Torah, to lend money to a person under those circumstances. However, we know that usually a Jew is supposed to avoid becoming a servant or a slave to anybody other than Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal points out here that the Torah tells us an incredible chiddush, that when a Jew does go that far down, that he's so down and out that he has to sell himself as a slave to a master, a Jewish master, then the Jewish master is allowed to give him a non-Jewish woman, a non-Jewish maidservant, for him to live with her, to marry her, to live with her, and produce children. And those children obviously are going to be non-Jews. The mother is a non-Jewish maidservant, in order that the master should have additional slaves. This is an incredible chiddush. However, Hashem says that we only allow this to happen if he came into the relationship with this master with a wife, with a Jewish wife. If he has his own Jewish wife, then the master is allowed to give him this non-Jewish woman also for him to live with, to produce him. Whereas if he didn't have a Jewish wife, can't. So Rav Nosson Zal asks, why? What's the reasoning behind this? And Rav Nosson Zal gives an explanation where he says that when a Jew has contact with a non-Jewish woman, that's crossing a red line that's unbelievable, Rachman al-San. Super, super red line. He's attaching himself to the Sitrachra, to Amalek, the worst of the worst. The Zohar Kodesh speaks about this. The Gemara speaks about this. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal points out that if a Jew does not have any Jewish wife and he were to attach himself to this non-Jewish woman, then he's chas v'shalom, he's attaching himself to Tuma Sitrachra in a way that's chas v'shalom would be the end. That would be the final nail in his coffin, chas v'shalom, that kind of thing. Whereas, if he does have a Jewish wife, which means he's connected to the Kedusha, he's attached to Isha Yiras Hashem, then even when he goes ahead and makes a connection to this non-Jewish woman, it cannot pull him down completely. It cannot destroy him. It cannot, because he has that solid connection through the Jewish wife to the Shekhinah, to all kinds of Kedusha. I'm going over this briefly now. Rav Nosson Zal went into much more detail, giving us the psukim and the gemaras and everything to really, really make this perfectly clear. Because he said, when a person first hears this law, you would think logically just the opposite. If the guy has no wife, then okay. If the Torah gives him permission to have this, then. But if he has a wife, why in the world would the Torah let him, you know, now have a second wife in a sense? But Rav Nosson Zal gave this explanation, showing that even this person who went so far down and out to the point where he actually sold himself to be a servant to somebody else, which means he has walked a million miles away from Hashem in a sense, still Hashem cares about him. Hashem is looking out for him. And Hashem is saying, we will only allow him to have contact with this non-Jewish maidservant if he has an anchor, if he has his own Jewish wife. Then he has a certain anchor, and then the contact with this non-Jewish maidservant will not tear him away completely, will not burn his bridges. So Rav Nosson Zal says, so the Medrash says that if that's how Hashem feels, that even when a person is down and out, he's all the way down, still Hashem is looking for a tikkun for that person, then why did Hashem say to wipe out Amalek completely? True, Amalek is down and out. He's bad. He's no good. But we see from this law of Eved Ivri that even when a person is down and out, he's mamish far, far, far away from Hashem, Hashem is still looking for his tikkun. So why isn't Hashem looking for a tikkun for Amalek? That was the first round. That was the first challenge that the angels gave to Hashem. Now we come to Vim Toimar, where we left off on page 468, left-hand column, the second paragraph on the page. Ve'im toimar kadinhu, and the angel said to Hashem, and if you, Hashem, are going to say, I'm right, I'm still right, even though I said that an Eved Ivri, you can only give him this non-Jewish maidservant as a wife only if he has his own wife, But if he doesn't have his own wife, you can't, because we're looking out even for the guy who's the worst of the worst, in a sense. Ki amolek garua yoiser me'eved. Still, Amalek, burn, destroy completely, wipe them out completely. Why? Because Amalek is worse than this Eved. Ki Amalek hu zuamas hanochash beyoiser. Because Amalek is the worst impurity of the snake, as we showed earlier, how Amalek goes back to the Eitz Hadas. Hamon, hamin ho'eitz. Hamon comes from Amalek. Amalek is from the Eitz Hadas, the filth of the snake. Iker taivas habehemius mamish. Amalek represents the essence of animalism, animalistic desires. Ki ho Amalekim hoyu medamen atzmon lebehema. Because the Amalekim actually were able to convert themselves into animals. They knew magic in those days, and when the Jews were coming to wipe them out, they figured, okay, if they see us as humans, they're going to wipe us out, no problem. I'm going to turn myself into a cow, into a giraffe, into anything. But Hashem, and that's why Hashem said, Kama Shapirish Rashi b'Shmuel, as Rashi HaKodesh points out in the Navi Shmuel, that when Hashem told Shaul HaMelech, wipe out men, women, children, animals, al posuk mishoer ad se, where the posuk says, the oxen and the sheep, kill them also. Ayin Shom, look over there in Rashi, that Rashi HaKodesh says there, that the Amalekim knew how to flip themselves into oxen and sheep. Kihem bechinas behema mamish, because Amalek is behema, literally behema. It's not the person who has fallen into a little bit of behemius, into 30% or 60% or 90%. Amalek is mamish behema. Shehem pegam hadas, they are the opposite of das. Bechinas yira ro, they represent the wrong type of yira, we said. Yira is nefulais. So if that's what you're going to say, Hashem, if that's what you're going to say, that therefore you can't ask me why by the Eved Ivri we still look to help him and by Amalek we don't, because Amalek is worse. Im kein, loma bo Adam HaRishon al kol behema chayev oif. Why does the Torah tell us that Adam HaRishon made contact with the animals, the behemois, the chayois, and the oifois? Uboze onu royim, and by the Torah telling us that, we see shegam hanitzutzois shebebehemois chayev oif yielehem tikun. That even those sparks of holiness that are found in the behemois and in the chayois and in the oifois, even they will have a tikun. The alkein sivev hu yisborach, and that's why Hashem made circumstances evolve in such a way. Shekoidim shenitein das ba'odom arishon, that before Adam HaRishon was given the das to realize that his mate would be a woman, would be Chava, before he was given that das, yovoy al kol behema v'chayev oif. He first had contact with all the behemois and chayois and oifois, kedei lahalois hanitzutzois gam mishon, in order to elevate sparks of holiness that were found in these behemois, chayes, and oifois. That's what the Torah tells us. So if that's the case, v'im kein, if that's true, onuroyim, then we see, shegam hanitzutzois shebebehema chayev oif mamish, that even the sparks that are found in behemois, in chayes and oifois, choyshev Hashem yisborach aleim achshavois, Hashem thinks all kinds of thoughts and tries to figure out all kinds of plans, sheyizbararu, that those sparks of holiness should have a tikkun. And if that's the case, v'hadra kushi l'duchta, our question comes back to its original place. Lama tziviso limchoy zechra Amalek, why did you, Hashem, tell us to wipe out every trace of Amalek? You, Hashem, should have provided a tikkun for Amalek also. You're going to say Amalek is behema? Good, I'll bring you a proof. I'll bring you an example where Adam HaRishon, Hashem worked out circumstances that Adam HaRishon should have contact with the behemoth Sachais in order to effect a tikkun over there, in order to make a tikkun for the spark that's found in behemah and chaya. So if you're saying Amalek is behemah, then Amalek should also be able to have a tikkun. Ve'im toimar, now the negotiation continues. Ve'im toimar kadinhu, and if Hashem, you're going to tell us, no, I'm right, I'm still right. These behemoths can have a tikkun, and Amalek can't have a tikkun. Ki zeh shebo odom rishna kol behemo, zeh hoya koidem she'ochal me'etz hadas. When is it that Odom Arishon had contact with these behemois and chayois? It was before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, which means koidim shenimshach zuamas hanochash boilam, before the major impurity of the snake was unleashed in the world. We know the snake was the one who convinced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And the Gemara uses the wording that the snake injected a zuama, a filth, an impurity, into Chava. So the snake unleashed this tumah into the world. So when Adam Rishon had this contact with the behemoths, it was before that. Because when Adam Rishon had this contact with the animals, it was before he had contact with Chava. And it was certainly before Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas.